One of the central reasons for this was that although Germany did not have a united political organization, it did have an increasingly well-integrated economic organization, a national market, arising out of what was called the Prussian Customs Union, or Zollverein. This customs union had been founded in Prussia in the aftermath of the Congress of Vienna. It had gradually expanded through the 1820s, and by 1834, all of the major states of German Central Europe had become members of the Prussian Customs Union, except the Austrians. Prussia had consciously kept the Habsburg monarchy out of this customs union. How had they done this? Prussia in the 1820s, 30s, 40s had adopted a policy of economic liberalism, of laissez-faire, and also of free trade, lowering tariffs in international trade. One thinks, well, how can this possibly be? This was an economically backward area, not a great industrial area in the period before 1848. It was largely dominated by large-scale agriculture, big estate, grain-producing agriculture, and dominated by a very conservative Prussian aristocracy. But ironically, this politically conservative Prussian aristocracy, with its grain-producing estates, represented the most dynamic sector of the Prussian economy, and they sold for export. They sold grain in Western Europe and in England, and amazingly enough, in Russia as well. And so they were quite keen on the ideas of free trade. So the Prussian Zollverein, from a very early day, winds up being something of an oxymoron. It is liberal economic policy in a conservative state. The attraction of belonging to a national market proved to be irresistible for the smaller German states, so that by the 1830s, by 1834, all the major states were part of this customs union, with the exception of the Habsburgs. The Habsburgs didn't feel they could join because they didn't believed that their industries, their commerce was strong enough to stand international competition, and so always wanted to have high tariffs. The Prussians pushed, however, to have low tariffs. And very, very shrewdly, especially in the 1850s, what one sees is the Hohenzollern monarchy clearly playing second fiddle politically to the Habsburgs. The Hohenzollerns, when the Habsburgs in effect apply for membership in the Zollverein, suggest that they want to join, the Prussian response was always the same. Absolutely. Yes, we want you to be members of the Zollverein. We want you to be in the customs union. This would be marvelous. And then, having agreed in principle, the Prussians would raise all sorts of quite pragmatic objections, consistently lowering tariffs, so that instead of raising tariffs to accommodate the Habsburgs, they continuously lowered them. So the Habsburg monarchy's important industrial interests and other economic interests, we can't join. This is impossible. So the Habsburgs were excluded. As a result of the policies of this Prussian customs union, liberal business interests all over Germany, who were disappointed, had been relentlessly disappointed by the conservative policies of the Hohenzollerns in a political sense, were drawn to Prussian leadership in economics. Prussia was going to be the leader for any move for German national unification, not, they felt, because of some sort of romantic nationalist notion, but because Prussia's economic policies represented the wave of the future. That Prussia, with its liberal economic policy, was slowly creating a German national economy, and therefore the Hohenzollerns were the only real candidates to lead Germany to national unification. And national unification business interests all over Germany, from Munich to Stuttgart to Cologne to Dresden to Hamburg, all understood if Germany were going to be able to sustain itself, to create prosperity and to sustain that prosperity, was going to have to be able to compete internationally. And this would require Germany to have a common common currency, common weights and measures, some sort of national economic market. And this was what the Zollverein was slowly piecemeal introducing. In many respects, it is very similar to what one sees in the evolution of the European Union, the common market in the European Union after the Second World War in Europe.